Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs. Welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs. For this weekly podcast episode, I was able to connect with some old friends that happen to be AFC West rivals. And for this episode, we got together over the phone and talking about what our team's going to pick in the draft, what we hope they're going to do, and also about how stacked this draft is, and go into detail about what our expectations are for each one of our teams, and finally, if the season's going to start or not on time because it's coronavirus. So bear with the sound quality because this was all over the phone because we couldn't meet with each other because of the coronavirus. So I hope you enjoy the show. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Let's talk about some football. I mean, there's nothing on TV. I don't know if you guys caught the WNBA draft last night, but I wasn't that desperate. No offense. I'm sure probably some feminists on this podcast are not going to like that. But
no, I mean, I actually don't mind the WNBA. I mean, living in just outside D.C., the Mystics won the championship and just kind of kept the titles rolling for the city. So I thought it was kind of nice to see, and I was planning on watching it, but unfortunately had to teach until about 10 o'clock last night, my time. So,
yeah, well, too bad you missed it.
I know, man.
But I don't think, to be honest, like the NFL draft, I never really cared about watching it. And now that there's nothing else on, that's all I've been looking forward to. And especially when my team won the Super Bowl last year, to see what they're going to do this year. But it looks like, what, Raiders? How many picks do you guys have? I think you have like 14 now.
We have, I mean, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think like 7 picks. 2 first rounders, though, the 12th and the 19th pick. So it should be interesting. Regarding the draft, what I was most bummed about, the fact that it was supposed to be in Vegas, the Raiders going there next year, and they were going to do it, I think, on some – I don't know if it was true or not, but do it on an island in the middle of the Bellagio water show or something like that. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was some ridiculous plans.
They're planning on having him come in every draft pick on a boat and walk across the stage with – I don't know. It's a whole scene. It's going to be really weird seeing the commissioner. Now you don't have to hear any boos now, so that's kind of the funny part, I guess.
Oh, we'll still be doing it from home, though.
But you're not going to see it, like, on live television. I guess it's probably one thing Roger Goodell's going to be happy about, not having any boos behind him in the basement.
No, it'd be funny if, like, some intern just got up and just started having, like, that, like, stock sound of boos in the background, like, for everything that he – every time he walks across the stage and makes an announcement.
Yeah, or if some of the coaches and inside there – their like little team of people, they have their like little slight booze here and there.
I heard what they're gonna do actually is gonna have some like live like Zoom like of certain fans. I don't know how that's gonna go, where like the fans' reaction of a pick. So it's kind of, I mean, I would love to see the Jets fans, because it always seems like every year the Jets have some pick that the fans are all pissed off about. Yeah. But we'll see how that's gonna go. But I forgot to even say this to introduce you guys to the show. Like, everyone knows I'm Skylar, the host of How About the Chiefs, but, like, and I'm, of course, representing the Chiefs, but I guess we'll go around and say, so who's representing the Chargers? You're Timmy.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm Tim Montgomery. I follow the Chargers since I was probably, like, 3 years old. My dad taking me to Charger games and this and that, and been a loyal fan my entire life. I love them all the way back in the Stan Humphries days and going to the – only Super Bowl and getting demolished by the 49ers.
All right. I mean, that's good that we have some loyalty here. I know I've been a Chiefs fan forever, but we finally won one. It took us 50 years.
Right.
Like, I still, like, can't believe it happened. And, like, I tell my kids, like, you're lucky. Like, I've been waiting for 35 years for this shit. Yeah. So, I know – Hector, you're the Raider fan. So how long have you been a Raider fan?
Yep, Hector Dalva. I've been a Raiders fan probably since I was about 9, 10 years old. My uncle is a diehard Raider fan, where, I mean, he has a tattoo of the Raiders with the guy kind of pulling off the mask off his face a little bit. So that's the whole reason why I got into football, was my uncle and watching the Raiders. So I was fortunate enough to watch back when they were actually good, with Gannon and going to the Super Bowl, and then that fiasco with just the Bear Robbins going to TJ and everything else. So, yeah, I've been a Raider fan through it all, through probably the downs now, the last like 20 years. Hasn't been the greatest years, but you know, at the end of the day, you gotta still represent the silver and black no matter what. And even with this move to Vegas, still staying true.
I know this is probably a sore subject, but the other day they were showing the Tuck rule of the famous
Brady finally admitted it was a fumble.
I mean, it was a fumble. I still, you know, looking back at the Raiders, that team, I mean, it's totally different outcome if they had that a fumble. I mean, but that, I guess, how the Patriots dynasty started too. It's just kind of crazy to think about. And then Greg, how the hell are you a Denver Bronco fan?
Yeah, man.
Like, I'm from California, and everyone's like, "How are you a Chief fan?" Like, for sure. Family all there. Like, how did you become a Bronco fan?
For sure. So, growing up in Oregon, we don't really have that much of NFL teams around us. I mean, we have the Seahawks, but couldn't really get behind them because everyone there was either a Seahawks fan, a Niners fan, or a Raiders fan, and just really couldn't get around it. So, playing Pee Wee football, Shannon Sharp is my favorite player. Just love the way he played. Love him as a tight end, which is the position I played too. So just kind of started following the Broncos through him. And we've had our ups and our downs through, but I don't know, I've kind of always found a way to just kind of get it done. So yeah, I love the Broncos, man.
All right. Cause I just, like, one thing I wanted to ask you, cause I didn't know you're a Broncos fan. I know I was talking to Nate, cause he's a huge 49er fan. I had him on the podcast a couple episodes ago, and he was mentioning that you're a Bronco fan. I'm like, why? I didn't know he was one. Like, this is awesome because now I have everyone that can represent the AFC West.
Yeah.
We could do this, you know, during the season, have you guys come on, you know, before each game or after a game. I don't know. So that's pretty cool. So I'm glad you guys do this. Thanks for doing this. I know this is not the easiest podcast setup because we're obviously doing this over the phone and during this coronavirus era where we can't be within 6 feet of each other. But I just want to say thanks for doing this again. And I have no idea where I'm going to go with this, but I guess we'll go ahead and talk about the draft. I know the Chiefs only have 5 picks, and we don't pick to the last pick of the round. But I kind of wanted to go with the Chargers because I know you guys are debating picking up a quarterback or not. Because I know you guys shipped Phillip Rivers is gone, and now you have Tyrod Taylor, who I think is a good quarterback. But do you think the Chargers are going to trade up to get Tua or –
So I agree with you. I think Tyrod Taylor is a fantastic quarterback. I don't think he's elite by any means. However, he is the complete opposite of Phillip Rivers when it comes to, you know, he doesn't create turnovers. He doesn't force the ball. At the same time, he doesn't take those risks that ended up being big plays and stuff like that. So I do believe that we're going to take a quarterback in the first round. And I do believe it's going to be either Justin Herbert or Tua. And I also believe it's going to be whoever falls at 6. I don't think they're going to trade. I don't see it out of the picture. I don't think they're going to actually trade up to get Tua with all the extra drama that kind of goes along with them with injuries and things like that. I personally think injuries are, you know, they suck and they happen, but I don't think they make or break a player. And with Tua's talent, he would be a win now, you know, join the team and compete for a first string spot. But I'm comfortable right now with Tyrod Taylor and letting someone sit behind him for a year, get used to how everything moves and whatnot, and then, you know, see what happens in 2021. I know Tyrod Taylor has the talent to take him to the playoffs with what the team we have now.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with that, and I still understand why. I guess Tua, I understand like his injury concerns and anything, but like if anyone's gonna pick him up, you know, quarterback at the top of a round, you usually want him to sit anyway because he usually get lit up on a team that sucks. And I don't think the Chargers, their record's not really reflect on how good the team is. Like their roster is stacked. If you look at it now, the guys you guys picked up on defense. Like, I think of the team that looks on paper, the Chargers are the most talented team, I think, in the NFL. One of the, on there. I think Minnesota Vikings is up there, too. But I think it's really, if they have pick up Tua and just have him sit for a year, you know, if you're worried about injuries, I think that's the way to go.
I don't.
And then just Herbert, I think Herbert's a safer pick because people are going to do the injury things. But I don't think he's a statue quarterback. He's not going to be like moving around. I think you need more of a quarterback that can actually move in the pocket now more, because you already had Phillip Rivers, and that's what he was, and Tom Brady those days. Like, that's kind of gone now with the NFL changing. So I hope they pick up Tua in a way, just because it'd be more exciting to see. And I think Tyrod Taylor's going to take it over still anyway for a year or two. So that's what I think for you guys. Would be great.
I don't know if Miami's going to let Tua slide to six, though.
I don't believe they will either. I think they're going to take
him. That's the thing. I think Miami might even take him, but they have another rumor's been going around. They have two first-round draft picks, is just to get other players and just wait until next year and go after their other quarterback from Clemson. But I still think they're not going to wait either. I think they're going to pick up, but I've heard rumors on that. Cool. There's rumors that they're tying in now, too, that say the Dolphins are going to trade two of their first-round draft picks for Chris Jones and the Chiefs, and I think that's ludicrous. But I don't think you trade all that away unless you're, I guess, you're the Houston's GM or coach,
right,
who trades away the best receiver and gets an old running back. I don't understand.
Are you kidding
still,
me? Bill O'Brien is the man.
He honestly, Bill O'Brien basically – he doesn't take shit from anyone, I guess you'd say, because anyone he doesn't like, he's been shipping off. And, like, he just does whatever he wants. And I think it's kind of a good thing, I guess, as a coach, but he's a horrible GM, in my opinion.
There's still some Al Davises out there.
Oh, right.
Al Davis right there.
Yeah, I mean, like, we'll go to the Raiders now. You guys have a lot of picks, and there's rumors that Gruden doesn't like Derek Carr, and he wants to go out for another quarterback. But now you guys picked up your backup now, the Hawaiian quarterback.
Yeah, Mariota.
Mariota. So do you think the Raiders are going to go after a quarterback?
I think that their positional needs, for me personally, I think is wide receiver. Derek Carr still needs some help. Obviously, last year we had the whole Brown fiasco. I think that was a big kind of killer from before the season even started. Derek Carr has not played the same since that the fibula injury. I will tell you that. I mean, it's kind of been a little frustrating at times because he does have the talent to do well. However, though, knowing Gruden and what he expects out of his people, I think it should be interesting. But I don't think they're going to go for a quarterback unless they fall at the right spot. But they have two first-round picks. They have the 12th and the 19th. They need a true number one DB. They need some wide receiver help, which there's a lot of depth there at receivers. I just don't see them picking up another quarterback right now because they have Mariota, and they also, I think, Nathan Peterman signed that his tender offer as well. So quarterback for me, I think, is off the table for the Raiders, but you never know. I saw a quote from a couple GMs or whatever saying, this year, given the coronavirus and everything that's going, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think they'll go for a quarterback. I just thought it was kind of an interesting take from some people who are saying they're going to. I think Derek Carr's going to be on a short leash, and if he starts doing bad, they're going to throw in Mariota. And maybe Mariota will do what happened to him with Tennessee. You know, maybe he'll come in and take over like Tannehill did for him. So
yeah.
I think Mariota's good. I mean, he embarrassed the Chiefs in a playoff game where he caught his own pass and scored a touchdown. So, I mean, the Titans were always the one team that you think on – like, they're not fun to watch, but then they just win. I don't understand. So
yeah, they literally just find ways to win. It's incredible.
They beat the Patriots, and that's all I care
about.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I was just happy just because I didn't want to see the Patriots go. I could care less. Like, I just – one thing. But then in a way, I kind of wanted to – have them play against the Chiefs, because I don't want to hear like these Patriots fans say, oh, the Chiefs had an easy way in, which you could say that, I guess, because the Ravens lost too. But at the same time, it is what it is. The Titans beat them. So, but let's go now to the Broncos. If you guys have, like, I think it's 14
10.
Picks or 10, 10 picks for that.
Yeah.
10 picks? Okay. I don't know all my info. I'm just making it up.
No, it's all good, man. Yeah, so 10 picks.
I only know stuff about the Chiefs, so.
I think that's most of us.
No, so, we got 10 picks. One first-rounder, a second-rounder, three in the third, one in the fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and two sevenths. So, I mean, oh, man, we need a lot. No, in all honesty, I mean, we lost a lot over free agency. Our defense is either really young or really old. So I think that this is a draft where you're going to see a lot of early and mid-round value picks to shore up the defense. It wouldn't surprise me if they take a swing at the fence with at least two wide receivers. I think that as Lott continues to develop, he's going to need some more weapons around him besides Sutton. We'll see how the new addition and what the backfield looks like with the addition from the Chargers, see how that works out with Gordon, because he'll be fighting for time with Lindsey, and then Seattle Royce Freeman pans out. But, I mean, definitely need some more weapons on the outside. One name that I think would be fun for them to pick up is Isaiah Hodgins in the late rounds, who was a wide receiver out of Oregon State. Really can kind of do it all. He was third in the NCAA last year in receptions for touchdowns, and decent body, about 6'4", about 210. It wouldn't surprise me if they went after him with either their sixth or one of their seventh round picks, but it would not surprise me if they either go for a starting cornerback with 15 or if they go with a wide receiver at 15.
It would shock me if they go for a quarterback, because
cornerback.
Oh, okay. I was like, because I think Drew Lock is your guy. I think anyone in the AFC West, like, everyone's gonna change their quarterback, because we know Patrick Mahomes and Chiefs are okay there, but like everyone else is pretty much drafting a quarterback. But I think Drew Lock is there. I think you guys got a pretty decent tight end. Your receivers, like you said, you might pick up a one or two receivers. I know you lost a lot of defensive players, but I like Simeon, your safety. I think
I agree.
I think he should be kept. I know they franchise tagged him, I think it was. So hopefully you guys can work that deal with him eventually. But I think the Broncos also is another team that has a better record. I mean, better team than their record shows, because last year you guys had some shitty losses where, like, a field goal – the Bears made a miracle field goal, and then they had the first 2 weeks where you guys lost in the last play of the game, and they had like a horrible roughing the passer call that wasn't roughing the passer. So, and then you had a lot of injuries too. Your defensive line, everyone was injured. Like, your good first round draft pick last year was down, and all you really had was what's his name, linebacker that has the
Von Miller,
Miller. I mean, like, that's like pretty much your team was like on the downswing, and I liked – the one thing I thought was funny was Joe Flacco last year. I think when you guys lost to the Colts, and that was probably hurts right now talking about this, but when you guys lost, and I'll never forget, Joe Flacco, the press conference, said that we played to lose the game because, like, they didn't take any shots. So hopefully you guys' play calling will be more open. Because I know against the Texans, you guys lit it up with Drew Lock just throwing all over the yard, and I thought that was good to see. So, but, I mean, looking around the league and looking around the AFC West, like, everyone in the league, everyone's changing their quarterbacks. Because it seemed like everyone's doing something drastically different. I mean, you look at Jacksonville got rid of Nick Foles after they gave him a fat contract, and they go with the quarterback Minshew, who's like, runs all over the place and throws the ball. You know, the Colts, I don't know why, but they're getting Phillip Rivers now. I mean, they have like pretty much the Colts have like their whole team, but they just need a quarterback. And I think, you know, their quarterback to begin with, Brisket was not too bad, but he was not like a flashy. But I could see the connection because. His quarterback, because he was a quarterback coach and he was offensive coordinator in charge at one point, Colts. So that's, I see that's reason why, but
yeah, I can see the Colts trying to go after move up and pick up one of the top quarterbacks just for the fact to have him sit behind, because Phillip Rivers is a insanely smart and competitive quarterback, but he's so hard to block for. Like, they always talk about offensive line and how the Chargers offensive line was one of the worst in the league and this and that, but they also had the hardest job in the league. That dude couldn't move to save his life.
I will say that the NFL these days, your quarterback has to be mobile, has to be able to make things happen on their feet and extend plays, whether that be rolling out or kind of just giving themselves a little extra second or two to find that window.
And it doesn't have to be much.
No, just 2 seconds and bam.
Yeah, because when Phillip Rivers takes off, it's like, hold your breath. Like, you don't know when he's going to get nailed. Or
5 yards takes Tom 10 Brady, seconds.
Tom Brady the same way. I used to play quarterback, and I didn't have that much speed either. But holy crap. Like, there's times where you're just like, Is he really running?
I think the very few times I saw Skyler run, I was like, Skyler's actually running. His big old gazelle legs just.
So, I mean, that's why, I don't know. It's just, hopefully he does well for the Colts. Like, it'll be interesting. You know, you got Tom Brady over in Tampa Bay, which would be interesting now, too.
That was a shocker.
I honestly didn't see that coming, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. Because that quarterback league now, if you look at the – it was the NFC South. All those quarterbacks are loaded. I mean, I think Bridgewater's pretty decent. You got Breeze.
I mean, Carolina's the only one that's not the greatest right now.
Yeah, I mean, they look like they're, like, just getting to everybody, you know. And Cam Newton now is out in the market, and I feel like Carolina let him go when everyone signed a quarterback, so – it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up being. So he'll have to be a backup. He's not going to start anywhere. And then Jameson Winston, the same thing. Like, I think it's funny they had a laser Isaac surgery to repair his eyes. You know, the guy threw 30 touchdowns and 30 picks. But we'll see
Do you think New England will really let both those guys sit on the market and roll out with what they have?
That's a good question. Supposedly, they really like Sidham. They're, like, really high on him, and
England made Matt Castle look good, so, and Jimmy Garoppolo, so I think whatever quarterback they put in there is going to be just fine.
That's true.
Yeah, I honestly don't – nothing surprises me with Belichick. Like, you can make fun of his team, and then all of a sudden they come out and they just beat you with what they have. So, I mean, last year, their offense was – pretty pathetic when you thought about an off. I mean, the receiving wise, like Julian Edelman and then everyone else, they just couldn't get it going. Like the rookies, they like picked up for receivers, didn't pan out, and they just couldn't get anything going. And I don't know. Their defense supposedly was supposed to be really good, but I think it really helped when you have the easiest schedule
and playing the easiest division. I mean,
to be honest, like that division sucks. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I think the Bills should take over that division this year.
That's not even a question.
Hopefully they do. I mean, I think they're up and coming. I still think they should have beat the Texans, but, you know, somehow they can't tackle Watson.
That was a
crazy play. That was the only difference in the game, really.
Allen's a really good quarterback, and adding Stephon Diggs as a target, I mean, they're going to be fun to watch next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And then they got Singletary as their running back.
Yep.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting for the rest of the league how that works out with all the quarterbacks going. And this draft, I mean, finally something on TV to watch, you know, finally something live. And I really don't know. I think the Chiefs, to be honest, like, I'll be really pissed off if they don't pick a cornerback or they don't pick a linebacker. There's always all these mock drafts out there. They got to pick a running back. And I don't know why you would need one. Because Damian Williams, I thought, did really well last year. We just took DeAndre Washington from the Raiders. We took him, and now he's another. There's like four guys that all can play really well. So I don't know why we would do that, but they're saying that we're suspected to take.
I'm also interested in like 5 years down the line what this draft looks like in retrospect, with the GMs complaining about the league not delaying it and how much stuff actually goes into scouting, because it's a crapshoot no matter what with all these supposed like extra analytics and eyes and workouts they run these guys through. So it's like, what is the actual value to the GM and scouting? It's going to be interesting to see what it looks like with not having the actual workouts.
And also, too, I'm curious to see if any like team won't be able to pick because they lose connection or something, like a fantasy football draft.
Oh, I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. Like, these guys are going to be having like the highest tech IT guys making sure their stuff is on point, you know, at all times. I'm actually super excited about this draft. Like, it kind of sucks with the whole situation and everything, but this draft is stacked with players. Like,
yeah. I think it's stacked, and then also it's interesting too is that every team, everyone needs a lot of needs. So there's like, I think there'll be a lot of trades. Like, that's what I think is going to happen, a lot of trades. But then it's going to make it hard because you can't be on the phone, and you know you're limited to get contact because you're doing this all online. So like, how good is our war room going to be? Yeah. You're in a basement somewhere. Like, you can't be with other people. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it'd be awesome, but it'd probably be hard to do trades.
Yeah, the entire players that are in this draft right now, the talent is unreal, and I think everybody with their needs, they can get it anywhere. We're talking guys in the fifth and sixth round that are still could potentially be late second guys, like all your wide receivers. Those wide receivers are stacked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're saying the receiver out of SC, yep, Pittman, like he's supposed to be like a third or fourth round guy. And I don't know. I saw some highlights. I'm like, that gotta be first.
Yeah, like Brandon Ayuk out of AZ State. That dude just flies. And KJ Hamler, like, it goes on forever. Not to mention, you know, your top ones that everybody else is talking about, like Jefferson and all those other, you know, wide receivers. But you got a lot of smaller receivers that remind me of Tyreek Hill, which is, you know, a pretty big thing to have on your team as far as wide receiver goes. Like KJ Hamler is almost the exact same person.
Yeah. I mean, you have anyone that speed, explosiveness, it's just crazy to watch. Like, I still laugh at watching, because I watched the Super Bowl probably over like 3 or 4 times because there's no live sports on. And I'll fast forward to the fourth quarter. I don't watch the rest of it. But like seeing like Tyreek Hill like catch the ball and how much space he can get, yeah, it's insane. And a lot of these receivers, you see like the LSU receivers and the national championship game, watching that, those guys can fly. And that's why like a lot of people are questioning, is Joe Burrow that great? And is Tua that great? Because you were throwing to like four.
Exactly. And that's kind of something I've been talking about with a bunch of my buddies about Justin Herbert, is Tua and Burrow have had elite offensive lines and elite wide receivers to throw to. But if you look at Justin Herbert, he's got that one wide receiver that's a burner. And then, you know, the rest of the team is kind of iffy, you know, when it comes to compared to, you know, the top two teams in the entire college. So I think it'd be interesting to see what all three of them do once they actually go to the league.
I'm also interested to see what Jordan Love does, yeah, out of Utah State. I mean, it's like you've seen a lot of success with small school guys in the NFL recently. Yeah. So with him coming out of Utah State, I'm really interested to see how he pans out.
Jordan Love's got a lot of talent.
Yeah,
he's got a lot to learn too. He's a gunslinger and he's got crazy arm talent, but he's got to learn more of, you know, progression and things of that nature, because he could be really good, but I think he's going to sit for a while.
Yeah, they're comparing him to like a Patrick Mahomes, which I don't know how you can compare. That's like a hard time.
They're different styles.
But really, he is. He really is the style, though. I mean, because the way he throws and the way his arm and everything else. But one thing for sure about Jordan Love, though, he didn't have very good numbers this year, but he lost everybody on his team. They changed coaches. Like,
he didn't have the weapons that everybody else had.
So, yeah. So, I mean, like, that's why it's kind of hard to see, you know. And then, you know, is he going to be a guy you think, oh, potential, and be like Mitch Trubisky, where you think, oh, he's going to be potential because he didn't play with anybody. But, you know, it's hard to say. Like, that's what I think it really depends where the kids get drafted. Because I feel bad for Josh Rosen. I mean, shit, we don't know how well he is still. Like, he's been bounced around in Miami now, and I don't know if he really got shot. Because, like, depends on your, like, what team picks you up, if they're using well, and if you fit well in the system. Because, like, Patrick Mahomes felt in, like, the most perfect situation. Like, you have Andy Reid, who's a genius at play calling, and then you also had Alex Smith, who just – maybe he doesn't. People, his knock on him doesn't take shots down the field, but he's probably,
dude, he had 7 different offensive coordinators his first 7 years in the league. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, that's why I look at him and Aaron Rodgers. People always say, like, "Oh, he was taken number one." Aaron Rodgers is a freak. I agree with that, and I think they're on different levels. But Aaron Rodgers got to sit for 3 years behind Brett Favre, and also too, he had McCarthy to learn from, and everyone else, like coordinators. And he didn't have that. And Alex Smith, like you said, had 7 different coordinators at one point. So he had Mike Singletary as coach. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, wasn't like, I mean, Mike Singletary, he had to worry about Vernon Davis' attitude, you know, walking off the field and stuff. And so that whole San Francisco, you know, regime didn't do very well. And Nate, my friend, you know, Nate, we'll talk about that. But, I mean, I'm really excited about this draft, like you said, Tim, like, because there's so much talent. I'm really curious what's going to happen. And so, speaking of nothing but the draft, but where do you guys see your team next year? I mean, I'll start with, I guess, you, Tim.
Well, after
– like, what are your expectations?
It looks like they've been beefing up our offensive line, you know, getting rid of some, we got rid of Russell Okun, who had a really hefty contract, brought in Trey Turner, who is, you know, a five-time Pro Bowler, young guy, you know, good stuff. We got Chris Harris Jr. on the other side of the ball, which I was ecstatic about. And yeah, I'm sure you were, because I've, you know, obviously
I was so sad to see him leave.
Enjoy the inter division trades and pickups and things like that, like, because it, you already know that person. I've already seen Chris Harris Jr., you know, pick six us a couple times and defend balls and the way he plays and everything. So I see us being having a winning record and making it into the playoffs as a wild card. I don't think, you know, I don't see us beating the Chiefs. I see us being very competitive with the Raiders and the Broncos. We could probably split some of the series between all of them. I haven't really followed much of what the Raiders have been doing on the offseason, but obviously I know about what the Broncos did a little bit with the pickup of Melvin Gordon, which I was pretty sad about that. But at the same time, you know, with the drama and stuff that came with them, he kind of hurt the team a little bit last year. But I see us making it in the playoffs, especially with that new rule that's coming out, which is a little bizarre. You know, things are new. So, but and I see Tyrod Taylor actually showing that he still has it. He still can sling the rock and take it places, you know.
So we'll talk about the Broncos now, Greg. What do you think? What are your expectations for the Broncos?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it depends on what they decide to do with the offensive line, really. Can they protect the young guy? I mean, they lost a lot. Losing Derek Wolfe in the offseason hurts. They also made some good trades in the backside, like getting Jarrell Casey from Tennessee. I thought it was a really good deal, especially for just a seventh rounder. I mean, that's kind of like a freebie. But schedule-wise, I mean, we play the AFC East this year as the conference opponents. So that's good. The downside is the interconference opponents is the NFC South. So Atlanta, Carolina will be down. New Orleans is still strong with Drew Brees. Tampa, we'll see how that shakes out with Brady. Tennessee's really strong. Pittsburgh's really strong. And then playing you all. So I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me somewhere between 7-9 again, 8-8 or 9-7 is kind of where I see this team this year. So still kind of building and rebuilding. Right. But
and then we'll I'll go happens. Hector with your Raiders. What are your expectations for your Raiders now? Are you there, Hector? I think we might have lost Hector. Maybe he's on mute. I don't know. Well, I'll go in now. What I expect you guys to happen in this AFC West. I think, honestly, with the new playoff format, which I'm not too happy about, I think three teams in the AFC West will be in the playoffs. I mean, I think you guys' teams are all rebuilding, and not only that, but you guys have a lot of talent. And I know the Chargers on paper, like I was saying, I think they arguably have a lot of talent on the roster. And the only thing they were questioning about was their quarterback. And I think Tyrod Taylor's there. Their offensive line was more a little sketchy, they said, because of Phillip Rivers. But like you mentioned earlier, he was a statue quarterback. So it's going to be a lot different. And you have Tyrod Taylor, who I think is a better quarterback. I thought he did really good with the Bills. I just think the Bills just want to move on. And I think with the Browns, he had a bad rep, and I think they just really wanted Baker Mayfield to come in anyway. So I think I see Tyrod Taylor doing well, maybe Pro Bowl. I don't know. Maybe it's too soon for that. But I think Drew Locke is going to do well for the Broncos. I think you guys are going to pick up a lot of players, and I think you guys are really competitive. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to sweep the AFC West. I know some Chiefs fans probably will not like me saying that, but let's be real. Like,
There's no way the Chiefs are sweeping the AFC West.
Unless there's significant injuries, I don't see that happening because the Chiefs struggled at the beginning of the year because we had a lot of injuries in the middle of the offensive line. And then Mahomes, obviously, the kneecap thing in Denver, which I hold my breath. I literally thought, oh, here we go. We're supposed to be Super Bowl, you know, favorites. And, you know, the Chiefs' luck. Here goes Mahomes on a quarterback sneak and dislocated his kneecap. Like, it just, I still laugh that he still was able to play the rest of the year. But enough said with that. I think the Raiders, too, I think they had a really good draft last year, and their rookies did really well. Their Jacobs running back, I think, is a beast. I think Derek Carr, I think he'll do better. If he doesn't, I think Mariota's going to come in, step in, and do well. So I honestly think there'll be three teams in the AFC West being the playoffs, especially with this new playoff scenario. And that said, too, I don't think the Chiefs will be number one seed. I don't see that happening because I think it's going to be a battle with the AFC West, which I love. I think our conference is always competitive. I don't care what the records are. It's always a close game. Even the Charger game in Mexico City, like, that could have gone so many different ways. The Denver game and the snow and the Kansas City, that could have been a different game. I mean, just Raiders, I mean, I know Hector's on the phone now, but it's, you never know what the Raiders are going to be. Like, they beat the crap out of one team, then all of a sudden they lose to the Jets by, like, 30 points. So, it just, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
It wouldn't surprise me to see Buffalo take the number one seed out of the AFC this year.
Wow, that's a bold prediction. I mean, honestly, with their division, I could see that because AFC East, I don't think – but I can't see the Patriots being knocked down yet. I still got to wait to see what happens. I thought it was kind of funny, the GM of the Bills, they're commenting on – I forget what show he was on, but they asked him the question, do you guys feel like you're the favorites of the AFC East? And he said, we're not the favorites until we beat the Patriots. Like, that's like – I don't care, you know, what – how much roster we have and all the players we have, but we have to still beat the Patriots. So they're still a team to beat.
The Ravens also bulked up a lot in the offseason as well.
One thing I noticed a lot is that you guys all bulked up on defense. So you guys are really trying to stop Mahomes or try to stop the Chiefs offense. That's clear because the Chargers went out and got three corners now that have arguably like start all three of them.
Yeah, and
start,
we picked up Linval Joseph because our run defense has been atrocious. So that was a huge pickup. That guy sitting in the middle is just going to stuff holes.
And then you got you know, on the outside, you got Bosa and Ingram, right? Yeah, Ingram on the outside rushing. So that's going to be a scary defense to go against. And so looking on the NFC side, I think that's still, like, a tough division. I don't see Tom Brady taking the Bucks all the way. Like, I'm sorry. I think that's a lot tall order for him. And, I mean, you got the Saints. You got the 49ers still. I know, like, they pretty much gave the Super Bowl away, basically. It's like, they basically played their perfect game against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and they just couldn't finish it off. A lot of people say, oh, the reffing, the score. I mean, whatever. You want to go back and forth, but I still think a lot of it was like you're up by how many touchdowns and you had 7 minutes left and you couldn't stop, make one stop or get one first down later. So you just choked. And I've seen that happen with the Chiefs. I mean, we did against the Colts years ago. We were Alex Smith. We were up by 40 points. I remember going to the gas station at halftime thinking this is awesome. And I come home and we're freaking losing. Andrew Luck scores a rushing touchdown and we lose the game by 1 point. So I hope I don't see that ever again. But anyways, I don't know what happened to Hector. I don't know if he's there, if he's still listening, but it looks like he's off. I want to say thanks for you guys for doing this. We definitely should – I'll try getting you guys to do this maybe again before the beginning of the year when we have, like, before the season starts and go ahead and talk about what we think is going to happen and then maybe try to get you guys on each week individually, like when the Broncos play the Chiefs or you know, Raiders and the Chargers, but it's good to hear from all you guys, man.
Skyler, one question real quick. Over, under that the season starts on question. Time, where do you put the line?
I don't have any outline for this podcast. I need to go this one that's by you, Greg. This is good. Honestly, I don't think they're going to start on time. I don't think so, because they haven't had mini camp, and that's one thing I think, too, about the Chiefs have the advantage, because Beef has been able to get us all back. I think it's 20 of the 22 starters are back. So I feel like that's another advantage because we're going to have all, you know, the same top, you know, chemistry you're used to and bring everyone back. Whereas now you guys have all different, potentially different players and key spots. So it's going to be interesting. So I don't think so. I think they're under. They're not going to start on time.
I mean, I hope they start on time, but with the way everything is going on, I mean,
I hope so too.
It's hard to tell because we don't even know what's going on with anything, really. You know, everything's so up in the air, and the only things that are normal is, you know, the essential workers, as they call them, right? Like, I'm in the military, so I'm still going to work every day. My life really hasn't changed much, but it's who knows? Who knows what's going on? I would love it for them to start because we all need to have some sort of normality to our, you know, everyday lives and feel like, you know, we're getting back to normal things. But I don't think they will, because if we can't be around each other and all this other stuff, there's no way that 100 players plus, you know, the 20 coaches and then all the other people that show up to practices and things like that, there's no way that that's going to be able to happen. So I think it's going to end up being late.
Yeah. So, Greg, you came up with this genius question. What do you think?
I think it's going to be late. It wouldn't surprise me if sports get canceled again, I mean, for next year. So, and I think with the precautions that the colleges are taking with canceling all the spring sports and canceling the rest of their winter sports and their championships, it'll be interesting to see how this plays into the pros. But yeah, I see the world taking this.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think the season start later. I mean, baseball, they've already done a game before baseball. If you guys remember, it was the Baltimore Orioles and I think it was Red Sox. It was the whole controversy then, and they played the game empty stadium. And I just can't imagine seeing a football game empty, and I can't imagine have that many players, that much personnel trying to do a game and have everyone tested. And it'd feel kind of weird where, like, we can hardly get enough tests to see if anyone else is positive, but we're going to do it for all the athletes going into every game. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. And like for basketball, for example, there's less people, yeah, and they had to shut down so fast. So I just don't see it happening. And like you said, it might be done for the year. I don't know. I know college football, I feel bad for, because a lot of these little towns, middle of nowhere, they depend on this for their economy. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with those schools. And I feel bad for the kids graduating right now, and the NCAA tournament. Like, I always look forward to that, even though I don't ever watch any college basketball, but just seeing the tournament, seeing like some random small school make it far, like, you didn't get a chance to see that. And are these kids going to come back for one more year as a senior, super senior, I guess you'd say, and just play basketball or whatever, or football? But I mean, are you going to go in the real world and get a job, or are you going to wait and take? I don't know how that's going to work out. So it'll be very interesting. I don't see sports going to be on for a while. I mean, maybe golf, because they have virtual cameras and less people. I can see maybe golf going on, or tennis. Even tennis, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's so weird to see an empty stadium. Like, I can't imagine seeing Arrowhead Stadium empty and having a football game, because it won't be the same. That's like...
Or can you imagine both the Raiders and the Chargers christening their new stadiums with no
fans?
That's
going to go really well. I mean, that's the thing, too. Like, isn't that stadium still going to be delayed? They were like $1 billion off, and now they're going to like have all these workers. They probably not
the,
be able to work
the
on the
SoFi
stadium.
Stadium.
I don't even know how it's going on.
They're doing right now. They officially last week they finally made the announcement that it's not going to be open this summer like they're planning on. Yeah, actually, that was.
So they're playing the Home Depot Center again?
Play one more season in the soccer stadium.
That makes sense to me. But I can imagine, like, man. And that's another thing, too. I know Tim's probably a sore subject, them moving to L.A. And that's kind of weird seeing that. And how do you feel about that?
I was pissed, obviously, you know, because born and raised in San Diego, and all I ever knew was Chargers. But I didn't go to the lengths that some of these crazy lunatics went and like started burning. They went their practice field and threw all their, you know, jerseys from the 60s and like newspapers that they saved, and they were like burning all of it. And I was like, you guys are crazy, man. This is just wild. Like, it's still like the team that I've watched and loved and grew up watching and went to football games with my dad and like all this stuff throughout it's like my entire childhood as a fan, and I'm not going to throw it away because they moved up north. I was actually more pissed at the city, to be honest with you, and the way they did it, because was it San Diego County? I wasn't in the city, so I wasn't even able to vote. And a good chunk of people that were fans weren't able to vote on it because it was a city only sanction, not a San Diego County. So that was a big controversy. And then the other part about it was the fact that most of the people voting on it didn't even know what they were voting for, because they were doing the same thing that Disneyland does and the same thing that, you know, a bunch of big corporations do, where they were going to tax people that were coming in from out of town, not people that lived there, but people that were out of town were going to get extra tax. Like, you've been to Disneyland, right? So you got
that's how the Raiders paid for their stadium.
Example, and you get Las Southern Vegas, California, yeah. Prices, right? If you have a zip code for Southern California, you get a different price, right, than if you came from, you know, Jersey or New York or somewhere else. So it was going to be the same exact thing, and I don't think people realized that, and now they lost their football team over it, which in return lost an enormous amount of revenue for the city, especially if they would have put a stadium downtown, like next to Petco Park and something like that. It would have been insane.
Right. So that's the one thing I thought your owner was trying to do a long time ago, and he was always fed up, because he's not – I know he's a – like all the owners, like, yes, make billions of dollars, but he's like one of the lowest, like, billionaire, you know? So, like, it was – I understand why he moved, and so many people are pissed off. Like, yeah, he's not the Rams GM where he owns four franchises. So, like, he can make his own stadium, yeah, out of thin air because there's so much cash to throw away. So, like, I get why he moved, and it kind of sucks. But, you know,
yeah,
it's not like they moved, like, clear across the country. They moved up north.
But I think I feel like that's even more of kind of, yeah, like a little bit balls, though, to where it's like you're still, like, shooting distance. It's like it's like your girlfriend breaks up with you and, yeah, then, like, starts dating your buddy.
I think a lot of
every day.
People, LA,
we never get along.
People in San Diego, you know, don't see eye to eye, I guess you'd say. So that's another thing, too. And also,
absolutely,
the used to be in that area. So it's just, I don't know. And then, like, the Raiders moving to Vegas, like, honestly, I don't think it matters for Raider fans. They're stoked because there's,
well,
so many
Vegas
fans,
period,
all over the,
right,
place, and they're going to fly out there anyway. Like, Vegas, yeah, like, who's going to be upset about it? I know Hector probably would jump in on this, but he just texted me and said, like, he can't hear us. But, I mean, he can hear us, but he can't talk. So, but I know that's one thing that's kind of nice. And
no, it was huge. I was living in Las Vegas when they made the announcement, and the town was going crazy. Like, even when Davis was out there just scouting places, like, they were going,
yeah,
crazy,
think of it this way, right?
That
Vegas,
they were actually able to get a pro franchise,
like,
or possibly able
West
to get a
Coast
pro franchise.
Big cities where it's a transplant city where you're going to have people from all over the United States, let alone even all over the world. And now people are going to be so excited that, you know, they're from Philadelphia, but they live in Vegas. And now there's a team there that every time, you know, the Eagles come play, they can go see their team live when they didn't have that chance before without spending an enormous amount of money. You know, like, they actually have a
without driving to Phoenix or
field
out to
that
LA,
they can see their favorite team play. So whether or not, I mean, the Raiders travel really well anyway, but whether or not the Raiders fans are going or the fans of whatever team is going, everybody's going to be like, oh, I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to Vegas. What's that one away game that we're going to go see this year? Oh, we're going to go to Vegas.
I think it's going to be packed, and it's going to be hard to get tickets. Like, I know my brother and I already, mm-hmm, talked about going maybe to go watch a Chief Raider game there. Like, because I never could go to Oakland and do it. My cousin did it a long time ago, mm-hmm, when Jamal Charles scored 5 touchdowns. He said he got doused with beer and debt, like, all kinds of stuff the whole game. And so I remember his wife said he was freaking out about it because it was just too, like, crazy to be in Oakland doing that. And I know Oakland fans are upset, but at the same time, like, I know they're still going to travel.
Yeah.
I mean, Raider Nation, I guess you'd say, is everywhere. So as much as I don't like it, but they're everywhere. So, another thing I want to ask you guys, because it got me to think of another question. How do you guys feel about this extra game and this playoff scenario? Because I know, like, I already told you I don't like it. I don't know what you guys think.
Not a fan. And it's even just from, like, a CTE standpoint. So, I mean, players subject themselves to tons of lifelong complications from playing the sport. So adding a more revenue generating game, I think it's just more of a money grab for the owners than anything else. Even though that they're saying we're taking a preseason game away. I mean, how many of your starters do you actually play in a preseason game? You might play them for maybe two halves over the course of, like, or a total of five quarters over the total of, like, maybe three games. But most times you're just trying to find those fringe roster players. So I'm not a fan. I think it's just a money grab from the owners.
Sorry.
And the players – no, you're fine. I was going to say, and the players are in the league are already on non-guaranteed contracts for the most part, so they can get cut at any time. So, I mean, there's not really that protection. I know under the new collective bargaining agreement that guaranteed contracts might come into play, and that might be kind of the game changer, but the way it currently stands, not a fan.
Tim,
do you feel the same way, or you like it?
I didn't catch the question. It muted everything real quick.
No problems. I was going to say, like, do you like this extra regular season game and playoff scenario now?
I mean, as a fan of the game, it's great to be able to see your team play more. But as someone who really enjoys the traditional football experience and the way everything I've known for, you know, ever, it's going to be a little bit different when it comes down to, I mean, I'm pretty sure I can speak for the entire AFC West right here, where the last half of the season, we're like, all right, who's winning, who's losing? I need the Broncos to lose to, you know, the Jets or whatever. And then we need to win. And this team, like, you do all this math in your head to figure out if you're going to make the playoffs or not. Because besides, like, maybe 3 years where we've almost had a guarantee in when we are going, like, 14-2. Besides those years, it always comes down to almost the last game. And that goes for the entire AFC West. So it's going to be a little bit more difficult to figure that out for the first couple of years. I mean,
always
the extra game I could do without the playoffs. I kind of see it as, you know, hit or miss. Like, it's kind of cool that only one team, you know, gets the bye, and then there's wild card weekends gonna have three games per conference instead of just the, you know, or, you know, instead of just the two. So it's, you know, playoff football is always, you know, more interesting and more because everybody's 0-0 again, you know? So it's kind of, I'm up in the air. I'm curious to see how it all plays out.
So how I feel is the average NFL fan's like, great, I have more football to watch. It's stoked. But if you're like, a diehard fan like you guys are, I'm not a big fan of it. And I honestly don't like the playoff scenario now because it seems like a shitty team gets in. Like, it's going to be like when the Seahawks were 7-9 or when the, you know, it's going to be a team like that under 500 potentially now representing a league or a conference. So I'm not a big fan of it. And then also, it's only one extra game, which is kind of weird. So that means you're going to have an extra home game or an extra away game. Like, I don't know how they're going to work that out. Or are they going to have you play at a neutral site field? Like, it just doesn't – I don't know. I just don't like that. And I think eventually what they're trying to do is they want 18 games. They're going to take away the second, they only make two preseason games, I think it is. Because basically,
you know, I think they might do with it.
Because I think,
if they do go to 17 schedules, you're talking about the home and the away. I think they move all those international
games. I think
it's
what they're going to do, like, honestly. And then, do you think, like, I think they're going to do that eventually because it just doesn't make sense. Like, they won't, it's not fair because, like, 1 year you're going to have more home games and, you know, that, like, deciding game, like you said, in the AFC West, like, one game can decide everything and you get to play an away game when you should have an extra home game. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. So I just want to say thanks for doing this. I look forward to talking more with you guys when the season cuts actually if it has happened.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for doing this again.
Thanks for having us.
It's been great, you know, catching up with you guys, and we should stay in touch. I know it's been kind of a weird – you know, scenario with what's going on right now with the whole coronavirus and how everything's doing. But I hope you guys stay safe and thanks for doing this again. All right.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode and make sure to check in next week. I'll be uploading more episodes. And don't forget, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at How About Them Chiefs. So go check it out. And again, thanks for listening. Go Chiefs.